cannot fathom how a father is able to take the life of their own child. The killing of Maddox totally infuriates me, completely disgusts me, and ultimately saddens me. But it has also created in me an overwhelming feeling of loss. Before Maddox was murdered, on my days off, Morgan would drop her daughter off for the day. My daughter would announce when she saw me, "Hey, look, Max, look who it is. It's your best friend." I would feel so honored. I wasn't just grandpa. I was Maddox's best friend. Tea party was one of her favorite things to do. She loved this American Girl doll table, chairs, and tea set. She would actually sit on the small chair and play with the cups on the table. And then we would just do whatever Maddox wanted. Of course, I would tickle her every chance I got. Her laugh was so hearty, her smile so big. She would look at me with her brown eyes and melt my heart. I miss those days. I feel robbed. How unfair of a decision Ryan solely made for innocent Maddox, as well as for all of us. I cannot express enough how unfair it was that he chose to change Morgan's life. And I cannot express enough how unfair it was that Ryan chose to negatively affect so many other people's lives, including mine. So I feel it is only fair that all of Ryan's remaining seconds, minutes, hours, months, and years on this earth be somewhat taken from him. That all of his future life experiences happen while behind bars in prison. Nothing will bring back my granddaughter, and nothing will satisfy my overwhelming feeling of loss. I have missed her presence every second, every minute, every hour, every day, and every month since Ryan killed her. And I will miss her presence every moment for the rest of my life.
Welcome back to Operation Evil. This is episode 100. We made it to 100. But it's kind of a bummer episode.
I'm already bummed out. Why'd you do that already?
I know. I'm sorry about that clip. I'll explain.
I really want to know what happened.
Well, you're going to find out. So episode 100 is called Beaten and Burned in a Fire Pit, The Death of Baby Maddox. I'm your host, Nyoka.
I'm Rachel.
And thank you for sticking with us on this journey. I think we've grown a lot over the past 100 episodes, and we look forward to many, many more. If you're not aware, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month and Child Abuse Prevention Month. That's why I chose another story like this. I thought it would be a good choice to tell another child's story who's no longer here to tell it for themselves, and so they're not forgotten. But as usual, these episodes come with a trigger warning. This is the story about the life and death of 21-month-old baby girl named Maddox Lawrence. So sweet little Maddox was brought into this world on April 24th, 2014. Wow, it's close to what her birthday.
That's what I was just thinking. It is April.
Yeah. To parents Ryan and Morgan Lawrence. Pretty much right away, her fight in life began before her first birthday when she got diagnosed with a very unusual form of cancer called retinoblastoma. It's a cancer that starts in the retina, the very back part of the eye. And according to the Mayo Clinic, This cancer may be noticed if the pupil appears white when the light is shining into the eye, sometimes with flash photography. Like if you think of when you look at older pictures with the flash and you might have the red eyes or like...
So it's like opposite. It's instead of red, it's white?
Yeah, it's like one eye could be like a whitish color. And that's when that's kind of a sign that you need to get it looked at. So, and sometimes the eyes will appear to look in different directions, even though they aren't. The treatments for this is chemotherapy, radiation, and laser therapy. Now, Maddox was a fighter. Even though her treatments were expensive and very, very time-consuming, she got through it. Luckily, her treatments seemed successful, and she was surviving the cancer. Her treatments and exams were made possible by the nearly 100 people that donated more than $9,000 to help Maddox and her family through the treatments and other costs with a GoFundMe page. The page was established by Ryan's sister, and it described the extensive amount of traveling and costs the family faced treating her cancer. It said, quote, "Every weekend, Ryan and Morgan are driving from Syracuse, New York to New York City to get the best treatment he can give Maddox to fight this cancer off." Sister Shaylin Leonard wrote on the donation page, "The expenses are becoming very high with medical bills, gas, lost wages, groceries, and feeding Maddox the most healthiest of foods to bettering her chance of recovery." She also wrote that the child was strong and tough, had the, quote, "blood of lions," and, quote, "makes little monster noises." The amount of donations received was more than $2,000 above what was requested.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she was very supportive. So she was a very, very lucky little girl to receive all that support, and that could have, like, actually led to her demise. Okay, I'm going to explain. See, her father, Ryan, appeared as a loving, caring father.
Oh, why you say appeared?
Well, each morning when he went to work to deliver pastries to coffee shops, he would take 21-month-old Maddox with him. He never left her in the car while he went inside to deliver the pastries. No, no, no. He got her out of the car. He had her in one arm, pastries in the other, and would appear like a very loving father. Who would ever thought what was to come? But anyway, according to Syracuse.com, he would even hold like the toddler's chubby little hand during chemotherapy treatments that she was receiving to destroy the deadly cancer spreading through her eye. Ryan was described as a dutiful, caring, and loving father for every moment of Maddox's life through the time the incident occurred, and this incident would ignite shock and despair. On February 20th, 2016, Ryan and Maddox dropped off her mother, Morgan, at the Destiny USA shopping mall where she worked. And apparently this was a normal routine for them. The plan was that they would return to pick her up, but they never did. Instead, Ryan left the family car in the parking lot of her work with the keys inside. And I guess from what I understand, he texted Morgan and was like, "The car's in the parking lot." There you go.
I'm sure she thought right away, this is weird, right?
I would think so.
Everyday normal routine.
Right. It's very different from the norm. So when Morgan like got off work, she saw that the car was indeed in the parking lot. And then when she returned home, she discovered a note was left behind that alarmed the family that Ryan and Maddox's safety could be in danger. Police Sergeant Hederline stated that Ryan seemed to be suffering from, quote, "mental impairment" when he wrote the note. I don't know what's in the note, but it was enough to scare them. So an Amber Alert for Maddox was issued on February 21st.
So whatever was in the note was never released?
Not that I found. But I don't know. I didn't find anything. Maddox was last seen in a white shirt with brown puppies on it, pink pants, and a teeny tiny coat, and a knit hat decorated with pom-poms. Her father, Ryan, was missing too, and the Amber Alert did provide some information like Ryan having a history of mental health issues, how he is emotionally unstable, and that he was going to harm himself and possibly the child. So Morgan, that's Maddox's mother, pleaded during a news conference, and here is the audio clip from that.
Yeah. Please just bring Maddox home. Maddox, I love you, honey. Ryan, please call. We just want to know that the both of you are safe. The whole family loves you. The whole family wants you both home. And we just want to know that you guys are in a good place. And we'd love to see you both as soon as possible.
Thank you, ma'am. Give me 1 second. I'll take some questions.
Okay. So you can definitely hear how distraught she is.
I can't even imagine what she's going through.
No. I mean, she's desperate. So the next day, February 22nd, a thrift shop employee called the police after recognizing Ryan in the shop. When police responded, they spotted him alone, walking on a nearby street, wearing a disguise, which was a wig, a hat, and sunglasses.
What?
And they took him into custody. And I just want to say, at this time, Maddox is already dead.
But they don't know.
They don't know this. So when questioned by the police, Ryan initially refused to cooperate and gave a couple stories about where the child was. It took them a long time to get the truth from him and what really happened to Maddox. And when he finally did confess to his daughter's death, he gave a few different reasons as to why he would do what he did. His statements gave a sense of jealousy about the attention that Maddox was receiving, although his attorney would say that jealousy had nothing to do with it, and it was more of a concern for the type of life Maddox may have experienced as she went on.
Is there any mention of, like, that he did seem to be, like, in some sort of bad mental state? I mean, obviously he was, but...
Well, more will be explained. But I don't think the mother picked up on anything weird when she was dropped off to work, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until she read the note. And I heard from somewhere there was also, like, a video that he left, but I didn't find that information, so I didn't include it.
Like, how could you be one way dropping her off and then all of a sudden... I mean, this had to have been planned out.
Yeah, I believe it was. I believe he had this plan.
I'm already pissed off because the type of life that she would experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just assuming she'd beat the cancer. And he was just jealous because the child got all kinds of attention and support because she was going through cancer, fighting cancer.
What, 21-month-old?
Yes.
Baby.
Yeah. And he was jealous.
How old was this freaking idiot?
He was 21 or 22 at this time. So 36 hours later, on February 23rd, police, with the help from New York State Police divers, found the blonde-haired, brown-eyed baby Maddox, beaten, burned, and floating in a creek. Apparently, Ryan took baby Maddox to a secluded area where he would beat her in the head with a wooden baseball bat, killing her. She didn't even see it coming. He did it behind, like, she was walking, little walking in front of him.
Oh, my God.
And he struck her from behind. Yeah. He would then put her little murdered body in the wooden baseball bat that he used to beat her with into a fire pit to burn for hours. And then after that, he took her charred body, what was left of it, placed her in a container, tied a cinder block to it, and sunk her in a creek.
Why?
Well, because if she lived on, look what kind of life she may have had. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
So Ryan, 25, he was 25 at the time, was initially arrested for second-degree murder, but later upgraded to first-degree murder.
Good.
After being evaluated and cleared mentally fit to stand trial, his attorney argued that he was suffering from, quote, extreme emotional disturbance.
Bullshit.
At the time, he murdered his daughter and should be tried for manslaughter instead.
Bullshit again.
But don't worry, that doesn't fly. So, don't worry. But, on September 15th, 2000...
How could he defend this person?
I know, right? I don't think, as an attorney, how do you take a case like this?
It would be worse than a doctor, like, where you have to turn off that emotion. Like, this is all emotions. How can... I don't get it.
I know. As a defense attorney, it's like, you're going to take on people that are guilty and that aren't guilty. And either way, you have to... defend them.
Yeah.
How do you defend this?
You have to do your job, but how can it not?
But you can flip it on the other side as a prosecutor. You might be prosecuting an innocent person. Mm-hmm. It's happened time and time again.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, it's just a mess. But anyway, on September 15th, 2016, Ryan Lawrence pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and was sentenced to 25 years to life behind bars as part of a plea deal that avoided a trial and included an agreement that he would waive his right to appeal. His attorney told reporters that Ryan is, quote, unbelievably remorseful for everything he's done and he's torn apart. His life will be changed forever. He just thought accepting responsibility at this point, avoiding the pain of a trial for everyone involved, was the best thing to do and forego his right to have a jury consider extreme emotional disturbance. It has torn up the community and both families involved and certainly himself, end quote.
He's only thinking of himself there.
Absolutely, and he's trying to act like he's doing you a favor.
If you felt any... thing about the family, then you wouldn't have done what you did.
No.
It's not like you made a mistake. Mm-mm. You murdered your child.
Exactly. During the court hearing, the family had the opportunity to give statements. The first to speak was Ryan's brother, Rich. He said, quote, you are a stranger and you are also a murderer, end quote.
Wow.
Apparently, his brother had two young kids or... at least one young kid. So he was like distraught. Like, how can you do this to your child?
Yeah. And that breaks my heart that he says you're a stranger, because how must he feel? Like, you know, you think you know your family.
Yeah. Like, this is my brother. I can't believe my brother took his kid's life.
Yeah. Like, I think you would be in denial at first, right? Like, no way. This is not true.
Exactly. Later in the sentencing, Morgan's parents spoke out on the loss of their granddaughter. The grandfather grieves all the times he will never have with his granddaughter, all the milestones they'll never have, and how he feels robbed of that. And that was the audio clip at the beginning of the episode. That was the grandfather speaking. I also have a few more audio clips for you, and I thought that you might want to hear it. The first one is a clip of... Morgan, that's Maddox's mom, how devastated she was at the sentencing and what she had to say. I'll play that for you right now.
Oh my gosh, how strong of...
I know. And she had nothing to do with it. I just want to make that clear. She knew nothing about anything. She had nothing to do with it. Totally innocent. Here we go.
I'm dumbfounded by the audacity of his... to make such an uneducated decision on behalf of everyone in Maddox's life. Any one of our family members or friends would have gladly taken her from you if you had just told her that you were feeling you were going to harm her. taken my daughter away, but also abandoned me as well, leaving me with feelings of extreme loneliness and sadness. The situation also leaves me questioning my own judgment of others' intentions and their character. Burying my daughter alone was the single most harrowing experience I've ever endured. Knowing that her death was at the hands of a man that I once loved and trusted with our lives shakes me to the core. Because of what Ryan has done, I can never again be sure that I know someone for who they truly are. Ryan Lawrence's actions have affected the lives of others as well. Maddox was loved by everyone she met. She was strong and inspiring. She's missed greatly by everyone who knew her. And those who are very close to her, such as our family, are heartbroken and outraged. I want her to be known for who she was, and I want to be known for the loving mom and wife that I truly was. As a result of Ryan's actions, I need for him to spend the rest of his lifetime in prison. I fear for my safety, and I fear for the safety of others who are released back into the community. He's deceived everyone in his life with ease. And he's betrayed all of us with his actions. He's charismatic and believable when he wants to manipulate a situation in his favor. Before parole board in 25 years from now, he may seem remorseful. He may beg and plead to be released. He may claim to be changed. Please don't be fooled. He's a monster. And I truly do believe he'll kill again if given the chance. Don't give him that chance.
Okay. It was so sad. Like, she has the paper in her hand with her statement on there, and she is shaking, like, the whole time. Mm-hmm. It is, I feel so bad for her.
It's horrible that she thinks that she needs to doubt judgment of character.
Yeah.
Not only did he just did all these unthinkable things to her.
Yeah, because you don't think, I mean, she brought up a great point. You do like question yourself, like, are you a bad judge of character? Or did I not see this coming? I don't know.
She can't blame herself. I mean, because he did that. It was all him.
He did. The last audio clip I have for you is Helm speaking about everything. Oh, his response to killing baby Maddox.
Is this going to make us, like, want to throw up?
I don't think there's anything this dude could say that would make it okay.
I just pray that, like, he stays in prison forever.
Me too.
It's incredibly hard to talk about this for many reasons, and even harder to find the words to explain such a horrible crime. It is with all of my heart that I convey my sincerest apology to everyone for taking Maddox from her family and everyone who loved her. I'm also utterly sorry for denying Maddox her chance at life. I can't expect your forgiveness, but I tell you now that the sorrow I feel for what I've done is complete and comes from the deepest depths of my being. This sorrow I feel has nothing to do with being in jail, but for the pain, for the loss of Maddox. I miss her so bad. Max is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'd say that to her all the time, and to anyone else who'd listen. It was amazing to have her everywhere I went, including all the times I brought her to work with me. When our baby was diagnosed with cancer, we were in shock, but hopeful that the doctors in New York City would cure her, as indeed they did. Even after enduring countless overnight trips to the hospital and fruitless attempts at soothing a baby who couldn't possibly understand why she couldn't eat for hours before invasive treatment procedures, the threat of her cancer returning was very real. Our work schedules were arranged so that one of us was always with the baby, but there was very little time for the three of us together, nor enough money for a sitter or much of anything else. Still, we treated her and fed her better than we did ourselves, and loved her far more than anything else we've ever known. In no way can I justify my actions, and there is no one to blame but myself. There is no good explanation for such a horrendous crime, and regret is too simple a term to describe what I feel. What I can say is I've never felt such strong emotions towards anything in my life than my ever-growing and unconditional love for Maddox, and now I'm completely distraught by overwhelming grief and anguish for what I've done. I was never jealous of my daughter. Both our families know I love Maddox. If anything, I only wanted more for her. Max was always at the top of my list, and is constantly, to this day, the focal point of my thoughts and actions since she first came into my life. I'll never overcome this feeling of loss, but I will spend the rest of my life trying to figure out how I got to such a dark, irrational state.
Yeah, that's enough of that. Right? Yeah.
If it was about... I'm just going to give my opinion. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that if it was about him being afraid that the cancer was going to come back, mm-hmm. then he wouldn't have burnt her, and he wouldn't have put her body or the rest of her body in the water, like tied to concrete.
Yeah. Why would he be so brutal in his actions?
Yeah. Why would he do all these things, these steps to try to not get caught? The things he did was to prevent to be caught.
Yeah. It was a horrible way to take someone out.
Yeah. He did not want her to be found.
No.
I mean, we have learned that when it's something along those lines, usually the parent leaves the child where the child could be found.
Yeah. Not him.
Like a mercy kill? Like, you're full of shit, dude. Like, oh my God.
I know.
I'm, like, livid. Like, I can't stop, like, focusing on him because it just sounds like... And why would he bring up the thing about driving back and forth and the money about baby... What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. I think he was just saying what he felt like he should say.
Yeah.
It didn't... I don't know. To me, it didn't sound sincere.
No, I didn't think he sounded... It sounded forced. Like, hey,
it did.
Like, hey, you should read this.
Emotionless.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can understand the emotionless if you just kind of... You're in shock or something.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the words that he chose. Like... I don't get it.
I don't either. And the links to all these clips are in the show notes if you want to, like, see it in its entirety and just, like, the way he is. And
I hate his voice.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it? It's pretty bad. Oh, it's just so... I feel so bad for the mom. Oh, my God.
And the rest of the family, like, his brother and his parents and stuff, like...
I hope everyone's okay. I don't know. Since the death of her daughter, Morgan says she struggled with everything from anxiety to depression to even holding a job. I can totally see that.
Yeah.
Even though Ryan won't be eligible for parole in 25 years, she's already had a message for the parole members, and this was in the audio clip, but I'll go ahead and say it again. She stated, "He may seem remorseful. He may beg and plead. He may claim to be changed. Please don't be fooled. He's a monster, and I truly believe he will kill again if given the chance."
Even if he didn't kill again,
mm-hmm.
He
shouldn't be released at all.
No, I just don't believe that he's remorseful, and he did so many things to her. Like, he destroyed her life.
He did.
And her family.
I like what the judge says. So the judge used a quote in explaining the loss of life from another human being. He said, quote, "A wife who loses a husband is called a widow. A husband who loses his wife is called a widower. A child who loses their parents is called an orphan. You know, Mr. Lawrence, there's no term for a parent who loses a child. That is how awful it is." Oh, end quote.
I have goosebumps from that. Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, a divorce followed. And the items that Ryan requested from this divorce was a cracked fish tank, a bike that didn't have wheels, and a picture of his dog. He asked for no mementos of his daughter, not even a picture, nothing.
What the hell are you going to do with a cracked fish tank? You're in prison.
I know. But no mementos of his daughter. Nothing. That says so much right there.
Yeah. And a stupid bike.
So this reporter went to the state prison that he was that he's in, and was there for 2 hours and was doing an interview. And Ryan says some interesting things.
No
so
way.
Ryan said that he was suffering from a psychotic disorder brought on by what he described as a growing storm in his head. He listed problems that he said couldn't be solved that included working a dead-end job at a gas station, having a suspended driver's license and a $1,000 fine he couldn't afford to pay. His marriage was in trouble. They had money problems. And he was distraught over his mother's death years prior.
Oh, so his mother had passed.
Mm-hmm. What's ironic is his mother was a victim's advocate.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. But anyway. However, two psychiatrists who examined him both said that he did not have a mental illness.
It's ironic, too, that he mentioned the money problem, because what did he say in his statement?
The money.
Fuck you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm angry as hell.
I know. Ryan claims the plan was to kill his daughter and then kill himself. But I think his actions tell a different story. So
I agree.
Why would he purchase two wigs, makeup, a bandana, a can of spray paint to change his skin color, survival manuals, and on how to avoid capture if he was planning on taking his life?
See, and again, why would you hide the body mm-hmm. in water and tie it to a piece of concrete unless you're trying to? Mm.
Why did he think ahead to bring a fishing pole, camping gear, food, a tent, and a mosquito net if he planned on taking his life?
So he's going to live in the woods?
Why did he bother bringing a sheet of plastic to the murder scene to catch the blood spatter if he was planning on taking his life?
That's why you gave me that look earlier when I said it sounds like it was planned.
Uh-huh. Yep. So Ryan claims he needed all that stuff to survive long enough to get to the Ohio River, where he hoped his body would float
Please.
All the way to the Caribbean, where his mother's ashes were dispersed in 2008. When asked why not just kill himself and spare Maddox, he said he didn't want her to be raised without a father.
Sure, that makes so much more sense.
But listen to this. He even thought about letting her live. But then she would have been raised without a mother. So.
This guy, like, he's all the things on the list.
He's
like,
his thought process.
He's just stupid.
Oh. So Ryan may not be mentally ill, but he does have borderline and antisocial personality disorder. However, this disorder does not impair perception. This is not an excuse for what he did.
What, did he just suddenly develop this in his mid-20s? No.
One more interesting thing that I wanted to mention about what came out of this interview was that he claims that he had heard his dead mother's voice tell him he should give Maddox to her so that she could take care of her.
Did they see if he was schizophrenic?
Oh, yeah. Two psychiatrists. And they're like, no, you're not mentally ill.
He's just making shit up.
Yep. But enough about Ryan, because this isn't about Ryan, right? He sucks. Back to Maddox.
Yes, he does suck. Big time.
So the creek where she was found became a place of tribute for her life. People were leaving stuffed animals and trinkets and candles just to show their support and love for her. Mm. Additionally, a Facebook memorial page was created for Max and Maddox, and it could still be found today. It's still up. But another thing, because of what happened to Maddox, a New York State Senate passed what is called Maddox's Law. What does that mean? It means because of her murder, this legislation would establish the new offense of murder in the first degree when the intended victim is a child 12 years or younger, and it would carry a stiffer sentence of life without parole. Before Maddox's Law, murder in the first degree was reserved for the killing of a police officer, a correctional facility employee, a judge, a firefighter, emergency technician, ambulance driver, paramedic, registered nurse, that sort of thing. This bill changes it to include children 12 years old or younger. This is huge. Mm-hmm. Senator DeFrancisco stated, quote, "The killing of a young, defenseless child is one of the most heinous crimes since the perpetrator has a significant physical and emotional advantage over the victim. We need to change the law so that the punishment for the crime adequately reflects the severity of the crime."
Yeah. And
end quote.
And the fact, too, that, like, you know, she, it's her father. Like, you feel safe with your parent.
Yep. That's it. That will do it for this episode. Pictures of Maddox can be found on Facebook. I've already posted them along with,
she's so cute.
She's adorable. Oh my gosh. She seemed like such a happy baby considering that her life was a fight from the start. Oh, she had it rough. She was dealt a bad, bad hand.
I hope there's more. I mean, if there can be any positive things that come out of a situation like that, like the law, I would like to know if there's any other positive things. Like,
me too. I'm just glad when there is something that comes, something good that comes out of something so horrible, like the law. That's why I had to include it. When I saw that, I was like,
her name is in the
history
books.
That is amazing. Like, her story made something happen for someone else. Yeah. So I don't know. That's really good. I hope it's still a law and still in effect. And I don't know how many states adopted it or anything like that, but I think it's a wonderful thing. So I hope it is still a thing. I don't know. But thank you guys for listening to this horrible story. If you can't get enough Operation Evil, consider supporting the podcast by joining our Patreon. We have different tiers to choose from. We have, like, I don't know, between 25 and 30 episodes up and ready to listen to. It's just a way to support the show, and we appreciate it. But if you can't, that's cool. You can just share our podcast, talk about our podcast, like our Facebook page, follow us, that sort of thing. That's so helpful. You can rate us on the app that you listen to us to. That's cool. All these things really, really, really help us and gets the word out. And we appreciate each and every one of you. But until next time, I guess this is goodbye.
Bye.